Welcome to A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, your weekly dose of health, wealth, and everything else. Tune in for real talk, wise words, and soulful strategies for thriving in life and business.
Shifting gears in the auto industry. Interesting topic today. Today, you know, we are shifting gears and taking a look under the hood. We're fixing more than cars. We're going a little bit deeper. Welcome to A Bit of Insight with me, Lisa Mosby. You know, today's guest is the only female automotive shop owner in Colorado. Sadie has been in the car industry or into cars since the age of 8, and she is so sick of women being taken advantage of. She has the drive to succeed in providing a more than just fixing cars business mindset for those of us. And I, you know, we've all been there. I've been taken advantage of. I know I have, but I was in desperate need and I had to fix my car. I didn't know any better. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But more importantly, her high integrity in a male-dominated industry is fueling her fire to get on stages and share her story. She's talking to girls in STEM schools about their personal strengths and asking a few of the tough questions like, do you respect yourself and do others respect you? How are you showing up for your peers and your employees? And can you expect respect from them? So that's where we're going today on A Bit of Insight. Welcome, Sadie. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. It's awesome. Excited.
Yeah. You know, where I want to start is I said STEM, I know what it is, but I want you to share with the audience, why is it important for you to get out and start talking to girls in STEM schools? And what does STEM stand for?
That's a great question. So, STEM, I don't know the exact STEM exactly what it stands for, but what I do know is they are schools specifically to trades. So, for example, when I went and spoke to the STEM school here in Boulder, all of the programs were automotive or welding or electrical or plumbing, something like that, right? And so it's important that I get out and talk to not just females, but young men as well, to get them to see that in what is a traditionally male dominated industry, whether it is welding or automotive or plumbing, any of these places that these students can end up, that you can see women in these non-traditional roles and they can be successful. And me, when I say they, all women, all people, anyone can be successful in anything that you do, showing up the right way, preparing yourself correctly, understanding who you surrounded yourself with, and knowing who your community is. So I find it really important that these women see that, oh, someone who looks like me can do that. And she's succeeding in that. And if she can, I can.
Yeah. So. STEM does stand for science, technology, engineering and mathematics. So it's not typically where we find girls there. And there's just this need for women in all four of those areas. So I think that the message that you're bringing to these young women is that there's no rules. You know, it used to be that we had to take home ec, and it used to be that we had to, do certain things, and we went to college to meet a man. It wasn't necessarily to get an education. There were all of these stigmas attached to it, but that's not the case anymore. Now opportunity is available to everyone. And I love that you're getting out there. The other thing in your intro that I shared was self-respect. You know, when we chatted a little bit before the show, you had used that terminology several times. How do you define self-respect, and how does it impact the way that women show up in leadership roles?
Good question. So, in my opinion, self-respect is how you view yourself, is making sure that you are being taken care of, like I am being taken care of. I don't like to use the you out there. I'm being taken care of in what's right for me. So when I go to talk to these young people, I use that word self-respect. When you're coming in, how are you showing up? A lot of times there have been conversations there are a few women who I've talked to who are actually in the industry, working for maybe a big box franchise or something. And they say, well, I show up wearing X, Y, and Z, and I am being sexually harassed. And so I ask them, well, is wearing X, Y, and Z appropriate for the workspace? Are you owning the way that you're showing up in a way that gives you the respect that you want? Or are you opening the door to allow disrespect to happen without even realizing it? Because I think a lot of times, we don't need to change who we are or how we dress or how we do things, but we do need to be cognizant of what is that showing up as, right? So for me, I'm always very aware of how I show up, either just kind of my way of being, either physically or mentally or spiritually, what I'm saying, how I'm approaching different subjects, and am I being fair to myself in how I'm being? Does that make sense?
Does. Yeah, it's we don't have to follow the magazine rules anymore. We don't ha you have to follow the things that we see on TV and commercials. We can authentically be ourselves, and I think when we do that, we can show up and expect respect. We earn respect by the things we say, the language we choose, the clothes we choose. It's not that we have to downplay who we are. If you're a
At all.
feminine woman and you want to work on cars, by all means, be a feminine woman. If it makes sense to wear overalls over your girly girl outfit, that might be a good choice, or you're going to get all dirty. But scantily clad outfits in the business place, doesn't matter who you are. It's just that's not appropriate. Might be great for a nightclub, but I wouldn't wear, a short mini skirt to work if I'm doing meetings. I just wouldn't do that. That's not, but that's me. No criticism on those that do. But I get what you're talking about, is we earn respect. And when we show up professionally, whatever that looks like, if it's professional for a garage, if it's professional for the business, a business room, if it's professional for, I have a niece who wants to be in Cirque du Soleil, and her professional attire, how that looks different from my professional attire. Respect comes from fitting into that role and being in that leadership role. Let's talk about leadership for women who might be the minority in their workplace. What can that look like?
Oh my goodness. So, that's interesting. And, being the shop owner, I am the leader of my organization, right? I'm at the top. And, it's interesting that even, at the top, I say at the top, I don't know another way to say that. I pay the bills and
The
I
buck
do
stops
payroll,
with
right?
you. Yeah, the buck
Yeah,
stops
pretty
with you.
much. Yeah, but in with my staff, I do get that respect. Like they understand that. The interesting thing, however, is with customers. I'll have customers come in, I will say something to them and give them the answer around their vehicle, and they look right through me. And then I have my male technician come along and say exactly the same thing, because we found the same thing. And they'll fully listen to him. They'll fully engage with him. They'll listen to all the things. And I sit back in roles like in times like that, and I just think to myself, that's okay. I didn't get into this business to please you, right? I did my job. I diagnosed the car. I'm giving the vehicle back to the customer in a way that it should be, right? And so I never take things like that personally. And I think that is a sign of leadership, being very aware of who you are, being secure in who you are, being willing to stand in your power and say, you know what, I'm doing this for me, and I love what I'm doing. And that's okay if you don't have the same respect for me or you don't want to listen to what I'm saying. It's okay. It's about being a leader in your life, right? Knowing who you are, where you're going, and what you want to do, and being okay with that, regardless of what shows up around you, how it shows up around you, and being tough enough. I think being thick-skinned in a when you're a minority in any business is critical, because you're going to have the naysayers, and you're going to have the you can't, or you shouldn't, or how did you get here? Well, it doesn't matter how I got here and here I am, right? So it's really, really about being secure in who you are, and just being a leader in your own life. Because for me in particular, being a female in a male-dominated industry, and even walking around, like I will be in parking lots and I see people's hoods up, and I just can't help myself but to go over and ask, what's going on? Can I help you? And most of the time, I'm pretty well received, but I also know that people are going to look at me like, who do you think you are? And that's okay.
Wow.
That's okay. Being very secure in who you are and really understanding your why, I think is a key in being any leader. You have to be clear in why you do what you do, what gets you out of bed every day, what motivates you to want to. And on the hard days when it's hard, why am I doing this? Oh yeah, now I remember. Now I remember why.
We don't
So
have that we have a plethora, a long list of reasons to quit when we're entrepreneurs. Yeah,
no.
that why is the only thing that stops us from quitting.
Some
You
days.
said confident in who you are, and I know that you changed your name, and so I
I
want to talk
did.
about that. Some of the message, we're going under the hood. We're going to go, do more than fix cars. We want to talk about the mindset, the psyche, some of those things that affect our self-confidence, that cause us to be self-confident, the choices, how we show up in the world. You changed your name, and so I'm kind of curious why, what was the cause of that, and how has that changed how you feel in your own skin?
God, that's a great question. So, the first thing that comes to mind for me when you ask that question, how does that change how I am in my own skin? I had spoken to someone who had been in the room witnessing when I had said I'm going to change my name, and I saw that person again, like probably about 3 or 4 months later, and I don't think he could have summarized it any better. He said, "Jennifer is was your identity. Sadie is who you are." And I'm like, wow, yep, that's exactly right. So for me, the name change, it held a lot of, so there's a lot of past traumas in my life. And I know trauma gets used kind of willy-nilly these days, but it was very significant to the some family traumas that I had. And so when I chose to say my, I'm sorry, to change my name, it just kind of came to me during basically a meditation. It was something that was like, it was like a bright light in my face. Change your name. Okay. Because clearly that's something that I needed to be doing. My subconscious stepped into that. And so I was able to leave behind some of the traumas that were associated to my birth name. And the reason that I chose Sadie, just the quick story. Back when my closest friend graduated from college, we all went to Disney World. We rode this ET ride, and ET asks you to give them the name. And I said, "Well, wouldn't it be fun if we just made up our names?" Because at the end of the ride, he says your name, right? And I've always loved the name Sadie since I was 22 years old. And I thought, if I'm going to change my name, that's the only name that comes to me. That's the only name that comes to me. So that's how I changed the first name. My last name, so I changed my full name from Jennifer Pepper, Jennifer Elaine Pepper, to Sadie Ann Leffel. So Sadie was just a name that I've always loved. It reminds me of what Sadie represents to me mainly is spontaneity, fun, and freedom, because that's what it was in the moment of this ET ride. It was, this looks like fun. Let's change our name. I'm free to be called whatever I want. And it was very spontaneous, just in the moment. And my friends changed, used different names in that moment. The last name, however, I took on my husband's last name. So I've always been, I'm an only child, and I thought holding on to my maiden name, which is Pepper, is very, it's a fun name. It's a fun last name. And it also helped me, it kept me in this cocoon of, I don't have to fully emotionally, heartfelt give myself to another human if I hold on to my maiden name, my birth name. And it was in the moment that I chose to change my name. Adopting my husband's name was my way to let him know I am fully yours. Our marriage is now complete. I withhold nothing from you as your wife. So that was the power of the last name change. And then the middle name, so the middle name is related to my father's sister, to keep me connected to my birth family. So it keeps me connected to my birth family. My aunt's middle name was Anne, so I chose that. So I didn't fully let go of my whole family, and I'm still connected that way. So that's kind of how that piece by piece came about. So,
Wow. I think that's
yeah.
so powerful because oftentimes, and I've struggled with this myself, I think I may have even mentioned on the podcast that my last name is my former husband's last name, and he has since remarried. And so it doesn't seem like it's my last name, but yet I knew that last name for so a big part of my life, almost more than almost more than my maiden name. So it was really difficult for me to make that decision at the time. And, you know, you're going through divorce, and there's so much trauma around it. But when things calm down, there's always that possibility. We can do that at any time. We can step into that. And if that would empower somebody, there's nothing wrong with it. You get to call yourself who you want. You get to show up who you want. And I love how you explain that the Jennifer was your identity, but Sadie is who you are. And I think sometimes there's a disconnect for folks. And if you're not feeling that your birth name, your given name is who you are, do something about it. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Life is too short to live in a skin, in a name that doesn't suit you. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
good
how much
question.
thought you put into it was that's such a great story. And I know you're really passionate about stopping women from being taken advantage of just in the world, but specifically in the automotive world. What are the biggest issues and how can women protect themselves like that? Let's jump more into specifically about your business. You know, so how can women protect themselves? And is that what inspired you? Like you mentioned that it was important to you, but is the emotion behind that what inspired you to be your own boss, to be the CEO, to be the leader in charge of the only woman-owned garage in Colorado?
So a lot happening in that question. So just a little bit of background on how I got started in automotive and what's led me to where I am. So like you said, I'm an only child. So it was a lot of times that I needed to entertain myself. You know, my parents were busy working on all the things. Most people will say, oh, I got into automotive because my father taught me how to do an oil change, or we had the conversations. And that wasn't the case. My father was a police officer. Nothing to do with automotive, right? Probably changed our oil. I have no idea. But I had actually gone to a craft store with my mother, and I see this wall of model cars. And so I brought a couple of them home, and it's so much fun taking apart, doing the intricate work tight. You know, this is how I knew I liked to apparently talk with my hands, but also work with my hands. And so I started putting those together. It was a learning tool for me. So this was back when, before Google, before AI, any of that. And you had to physically go to a book and look up what does this part do? Why is it on the engine where it is? And that's what I did. I spent the time learning on my own. And then it just seemed kind of over the years as I got older. And into high school, people would always come to me with questions about their cars. And I'm like, okay. And I typically knew the answer. 90% of the time, I knew the answer, or I knew close enough that we could get there, right? Like we could get something fixed on the vehicle. And then when I was 19, I chose to work at a deliver car parts. And this was the pivotal time where I learned so much about the industry, so much about myself, so much about cars. Excuse me, and it was good and bad experiences. I would take the parts and I would go to the mechanic and deliver that to, and then ask them, what are you doing? What is this for? And most of them would be willing to explain it. And then there was, others that had ulterior motives. They just wanted my phone number, right? So there was some sexual harassment that was involved in it at 19. And then to the point that it got pretty rough one at one point. Working for a particular company, and I chose at that moment that I'm going to continue my love for cars. Like that's never going to go away. That's going to become my hobby, I guess. And then I went to nonprofit management for a while, and then during that time, I was a single mother for a little bit, so I got to be like the mom and dad role kind of situation. And so, as I would go into, I remember this one specific moment where I had gone in to get my oil changed at Brakes Plus. Oh, I shouldn't have thrown them in the bus. It was fine. It was a great experience. It wasn't a problem. But I did it because I never had the time to do it myself. I'm working full time raising two children. I just couldn't work on cars by myself. I didn't have the time. So I was sitting there and I'm like, I have so many things I need to do, children to pick up, soccer games to get to, all the things. And I thought to myself, I need to step back into this automotive industry in some role. And that moment I started to think, what is that going to look like? The other problem that I had going into in automotive was because of the knowledge I had. So in automotive, you have what's called a service writer. They're the person that you meet at the counter, and then you have the technicians in the back who are doing the work on your car. And the service writers, I could never, I would just bring the mechanic, just bring the mechanic to me, or let me go back there and talk to them, because the questions I would ask, they'd have to go back and forth, and then there's clarification, all this stuff. And I thought, this is crazy. This is craziness. Why can I not speak to the person who's doing the work on my own car? Like, why can't I do that? Yeah. So as time progressed, I was able to meet again my now husband, who was a 26-year mechanic, master certified mechanic. And after we met, it was in that moment that I said, "It's time. It's time for us to start our own shop. Whatever I don't know, he'll know." My children were old enough at that time that they could be, left alone, or I could, trust somebody else with them, whatever. And so we decided to open Grease Diva Garage in 2017. And another reason that I really wanted to do this is because, again, when I was in high school and when I was younger, so many of my girlfriends would come to me and ask me these questions, or they would say, "I just went to X shop and they're telling me that I need this repair." And I'm like, "No, you don't." Like, I can tell you by looking at that, your brake pads are fine. And I thought, how many other women is this happening to, where they go in and they're being taken advantage of because they're perceived to not know the difference, right? So I decided to open a shop where the intention here is for women to come in knowing that they can talk directly to the mechanic, whether it's myself or another technician, on what they did. We take the time to explain it to them should they want to know. I want women to understand that you can come in and we're not going to try to sell you something that isn't necessary. And so as that progressed, then I started to think about, I need to develop a training. So the first Saturday of every month, I do a car class for women, and it's called There's No Such Thing as Blinker Fluid, which, if you know anything about blinker fluid, they love to mess with people. Your blinker fluid needs to be replaced, just like you need the winter air put in your tires. Like, these are things that mechanics like to poke at people with, men and women. It's just a fun little thing. But anyway, I do car care classes for women, and I go through the steps of what I think is important for basic knowledge, not just how to work on your car, but when you're buying a new car, when you're vetting a mechanic, what are you looking for? What's important to know to empower yourself to know whether what service you're getting is what you should or should not be getting? And is that coming together for you around your vehicle? So for my love for cars was the intention at 8, 9, 10 years old was never to, open my own shop. It was just, this is what I do on my weekends. I freaking love cars. I'm toy tinker with engines. I tinker with, carburetors, all the things, but it's developed into, this is what's needed. And if it's going to be, it's up to me kind of thing. So it's a life I've chosen. And I would never do anything different. I'd never leave this industry for anything. I love what I do. So.
And I love that you're teaching women about what I have zero desire to open the hood and do something. I mean, I can check the oil or, put gas in the car, but I want to know what I'm supposed to be asking. I want to know those questions. We need when you own a powerful device like that, we get to know our iPhone. We dig in, we figure out the settings, we learn how it works, we understand the camera, but yet we drive this vehicle and most of us don't have a clue. My dad said, "You can get your driver's license as soon as you can change a tire." So I was 15 and a half when I learned how to change a tire because I was not going to miss that. On my 16th birthday, I was there. I had it scheduled. I was getting my driver's license. I wanted the freedom. And so, I was forced to crawl under the car every once in a while and, unscrew the little thing to make it the oil come out. Or there were certain things that he required of us. And he said, "Now, here's your AAA card. I've had AAA all my life. I don't expect you to do it, but if you're on a stranded highway, or if you're somewhere, you need to know how to change a tire, or you need to know how to get help." And a lot of us don't have that. A lot of dads maybe have not sat down with their daughters or sons, for that matter, in this day and age. I know a lot of sons who don't even necessarily know how to change a tire because they can call AAA or call a tow truck or something. So we don't have those skills. You said something about you teach classes face to face. Do you have anything online where folks can learn from you? Any social media or courses of that nature?
So thank you for asking that. So yes, I am leaning into and I've been asked because we've been found nationally. So I actually have a car in our shop right now from someone who's in New Jersey, right? So I know that the name is getting out there, and I know that the classes that I teach and what I teach isn't for just people in Colorado. Like, all women need to know what's going on. And one thing that I do, one of the reasons that I really do this is because when you think about your vehicle, just, speaking about when you're 16, what's in your car? The things that are most important to you, yourself, your spouse, your children, your dog, your friends, your babies, whatever. So know what you're in, know the capability, know what it takes to make it safe, right? So that's one of the biggest things that I drive home in these classes is make sure you understand why it's so important to know. And two, that a lot of people say mechanics are we're highway robbers, right? And it's less about because they say, oh, I'm getting overcharged. Well, it's more about finding a mechanic who knows what they're doing than it is finding the cheapest mechanic, because you're going to get what you pay for, right? And to me, it's really important. I'd rather pay the extra dollars to know that what I'm driving in, what I'm in, is safe. But in terms of the classes, yes, we are starting to lean into like the 30-second Instagram clips that, so like when I'm doing certain repairs, I'll just do a real short explanation of what I'm doing. I am to the point now of setting up a Zoom class, because I do think it's important. And 90% of what I teach, I can teach on Zoom. I typically try to take people under the hood of the car, and you can touch this, not that. I show them how to change a tire depending on the class and where we are, which I can still do that on Zoom. So yes, thank you for asking. I am looking forward to expanding the in-person teaching to Zoom. Yeah.
Because I think there's just so much value. They take you through the driving lessons in school, but they really don't teach you how to operate. There's no owner's manual for just driving. The car
Right.
itself has an owner's manual, but knowing what questions to ask and how we're supposed to use it. So I think there's a space for you in the world, and I think that many other people will probably follow in that. And I love that we get to learn from another woman who's been
Yeah.
there. And
Thank
you understand the
you.
challenges that we have. Maybe we don't have the upper
Yeah.
body strength to get those bolts off, or maybe we don't have, certain, maybe we have really long fingernails and we can't, tinker with different things. I noticed that, yes, you're doing it.
Yep.
You have that femininity that you can,
Yeah.
and you're still doing it. You're still working on those
Yeah.
cars. So you're making it available to the rest of us. What do you have any advice for women stepping into male-dominated fields that may feel maybe un underestimated and dismissed? Because you said that there were times when customers would walk in and they would listen to your employee and not listen to you. I'm sure other women have been experiencing that. Besides letting the customer talk to your employee, do you have any other suggestions on how women might I don't know, step into more confidence or try to reverse that? Is there a way to
Yeah.
speak up without getting tagged with the big B word?
There is, yeah, absolutely. And I think that, when I talk to these younger girls, and I talk to specifically about that, I lean into, again, understanding who you are, staying focused on your why, because there's going to be days where you're going to want to not do this anymore, and you got to remember why you chose the field that you're in, and why you're doing what you're doing. I would say that the biggest thing is, and this is what I tell a lot of these younger women too, is like, I look at myself as I'm a trailblazer, right? There's very few women there. I'm not the only, I'm the only woman owned in Colorado, but across the country, there's other women who own automotive. There's very famous women, right? But they're still trailblazers. I'm still a trailblazer. This generation behind me, we're going to be trailblazers. There's still a lot of work to do for women to be considered or looked at, or I even will say respected in male-dominated industries. You're still going to have some of that old school thought. It's just a generational kind of timeline that is not going to end with me. Like, again, these younger women that are coming in, and this is what I tell them, like, know that you're a trailblazer, and love that. Is it hard? Depends on how you look at it. I think it's fun. I love showing up in an arena where I'm the only woman, but I can hold a conversation about cars with all the men around me. It's fun. It's fun to me, right? So again, I think it's the perspective. So my suggestion would be, if you're going to come into a male-dominated industry, be ready. Be ready for anything. Understand the mindset you have around it. Know that you're a trailblazer. Know that the answers aren't going to be there because you're creating the answer for the questions that are being asked. You're going to be the one that's talked about in the future. You're going to be the one that's going to be looked at as, oh, so and so did X, Y, and Z in welding as the first woman. I mean, you can even see now there's some of the first women pilots that are very becoming, you know, they're becoming very familiar on Instagram. And should that be a norm? Yeah. So you're a woman flying a jet, but it's not. It's not a societal standard yet, right? And so my encouragement is just do what you love, never give up, and know that you're doing stuff that other people aren't gonna do.
Yeah, doesn't don't let it stop you. It can be actually be the fuel, like I had mentioned in your introduction. It can be the
Yeah.
fuel that fires you. It doesn't have to
Yeah.
be the roadblock that stops you. How do you set the standard for high integrity in your business, and how do you ensure that the employees follow that standard? Because I know you have a lot of men employees that
We
work
do.
for
Yeah.
you. Do they have that same passion, that same integrity that fuels your company?
So actually on my shirt, on the back of my shirt is our mission statement, our tagline. And it says, we believe in excellence, education, and integrity. We just happen to be great mechanics. So when I look at that, if I were to take away, we just happen to be great mechanics, I can look at myself in the mirror and say, what's important to me? Excellence, integrity, doing things right when no one's looking, and education. That's who I am in a nutshell, right? So when I hire anyone, when I bring anyone in, there's multi levels to it. I spend time with them. I talk with them. We do what's called a working interview. You're with us for the day. So I can kind of, you know, witness how you do things. Like, are you doing things correctly when you think you're not being watched? Do you hold that same level of integrity? Do you hold a standard of excellence? Then I also have kind of an onboarding where I cover our values. And so I'm very clear about that. And I'm also one of the second thing that I say to anyone who I'm interviewing is, one, what's your name? What's your experience? Are you comfortable working alongside of a woman? And I've had men say, honestly, no, I'm not. Okay, then we are not the shop for you. I've had men say, I've looked at your website and I'm not the shop for you. You're right, you're not. Or I'm sorry, I'm not the employee for you. And I'm like, you're right, you're not. So I do hold a standard, because it's my name. And if it's not done right, you don't get to be here with us.
Yeah,
And
it's a
I
privilege. It's
have,
not just a job.
that's right. It is a privilege to work for Grease Diva Garage. And I know that sounds so, oh, you know, can we get our head out of the big roll-up door? But at the end of the day, if I'm not holding the standard, how do I expect anybody else to hold the standard?
There's no standard. Exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what
If I'm
creates it.
coming in at 11 o'clock hungover every day, how do I expect my team to show up at 8 a.m. ready to go? Right? You have to be the example for the people that you want to support, to surround yourself with. And then you also start to draw that energy, right? So we've been through some difficult technicians. I've made some bad choices, and I'll admit that. But the team that I have in place right now is the team that I would work with until the day I die. I have amazing people with me right now, and we're going places and we're doing some amazing things. But that standard has to be held. It
Yeah.
has to be held.
Have you ever had to stand your ground in a situation where your integrity was tested? And how did you handle that?
Yeah, interestingly enough, we had a project in here for probably about 6 to 8 months, and the truck just left yesterday, and this customer is questioning everything from my tires tread isn't the same as it was when I brought my car in 6 months ago. And I'm like, okay. Okay. And it's the mindset. He's questioning everything that we're doing. He's trying to blame us for parts of the vehicle we didn't even touch. And I just have to sit back and say, that's unfortunate that you think that I would deliver something less than good. And I just go, okay. And I let them throw their fit and I let them make the accusations. And then I step back and I go, I know who I am and I'm not going to step to the stoop to this level. Find another shop. I just stay true to who I am and I make sure my staff does the same thing. We don't typically engage with some of the accusations of the less than. So
You don't win in that situation when you do
you
that.
can't.
You know, you can only, and the testimonials from the people who have had positive experiences will it will be better with, you know, those will actually prove who you are. And if somebody is out of integrity or asking for more than what was promised or agreed upon, that rises to the top. People get to know
And
that.
and I really think about this young man who I'm talking about as I have a feeling everything in his life is like this. Everything that is brought to him, it's not, oh, look at the great work that's been done. It's always the negative, right? So I always think about who my audience is too. Like, if you're just a naturally negative person, I'm never going to make you happy. And that's
And that
okay.
comes back to picking your customer. For those of us who are in different industries, we get to pick our customers. We get to interview our customers. You know, when somebody shows up with a vehicle, you're kind of like, yep, I'm an automotive shop. I need to fix the vehicle. You don't generally turn that away. You could periodically if they're belligerent or
Sometimes.
something. But yeah, sometimes. But yeah, you don't know before you start working on something what kind of a person that they really are. So I can understand where you sometimes you just have to, I don't know. Feel your way through it, I guess, as it's happening. If another woman wanted to start her own automotive shop or any non-traditional business, what first steps would you recommend? Is there something that comes to mind? First steps? I know what it is. Get know yourself. We're number one. You've already given us a couple. So let's go to, I shouldn't say first steps. Let's go to steps three, four, or five down the road a little bit. Know your why, know yourself, because those are the one and two are going to get you through the door and get you through the hard places. But from a business perspective, any suggestions?
I would make sure that the team that you surround yourself are your people. I would make sure you know your resources, like understand that starting a business isn't easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And make sure that
For
you're
sure.
ready to go the distance, that you're ready to tackle whatever's coming at you. But also know the resources that are out there. There's Small Business Administration. There are women, like for me, I have a community of women who don't know anything about cars, but they're all small business owners. And so when I need sounding boards, when I need suggestions, when I need help, I go to them, right? I have a community of women who can support me. And I would say, just do your homework. And when I say that, I mean, anytime you have a business, your location is critical. Make sure that you understand your costs and your finances up front. It's so easy for me. Like, I can come in all day and work on cars. I don't ever have to look at the business side of anything if I don't want to, but I know that if I don't, I'm not gonna be aware of where we're going. And if I'm not aware of what we're going, I don't have a way to lead my team to get there, right? So make sure that the business aspect of things, as painful as it can be, make sure you're staying up to date with stuff like that. And be creative. Be willing to be creative in when you're finding solutions. And stick with social media. Gotta be on social media. It's where it's at to grow.
Find a mentor or a community to be in, get trained and know where you're going to do your market. Who are you? Where are your ideal clients? Where are you going to market yourself? That makes sense. Completely makes sense. It's no different than any other industry, really. Is there last question, and then we'll wrap this up. What legacy do you hope to leave for women in this industry and beyond?
That you can too.
You can too.
And I mean, I didn't start. I Greasy Garage has only been in existence. We'll be 10 years in. Well, we're coming up on 9 years next month, actually. And I'm 50.
Yeah.
You can do this at any age.
Yeah.
Just because you're 20, you can do this at any age and just know that. Like, have your children first if that's what you want to do, have them later. But just know that it's your life. Do what you want, love what you do, and have a team to support you through it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much that simple. You know, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah. You
And it
don't
can
need
be
to know
fun. It
everything
can
before
be
you
fun.
start, but you do need to
Yeah.
start if you really want that life. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. Thank you for bringing that up. So one of the things we say here at Grease Diva Garage is figure it the F out. Like, that's one of the mottos that we have. Like, you know what? We want to go do this. We want to get into this part of the industry. How? I don't know, but we're going to figure it out because that's what
Yeah.
we want to do. And that's how we tackle everything that comes at us. We'll figure it out because I'm not giving up, and I'm not going to wait for the right moment because there's never a right moment. Never.
Yeah.
The money will never always perfectly be there. The timeline is never perfect there. Do it anyway. Get up and do it anyway. And figure it out. You'll figure it out. You'll just figure it out and have some fun while you're doing it.
Beautiful.
So that's the legacy I want. I want these women to know that they can and they will. So,
Yeah. And that there are other women that have been there before them in most cases nowadays, you know, the planet we've been around for a long time. There's
yeah.
somebody out there that can be a mentor, or there's a community of women who are being the change they want to see that are you didn't call it pioneer, you called it something else, where they're
Trailblazer, trailblazer.
trailblazers.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Be a
Yep.
trailblazer. Wear like a
Yes.
badge. Own that. Yeah.
Yep.
Because we need that. That's the only thing that really changes the world, one person at a time, is if we get out there and be a trailblazer. No, play, blazer. Know your why, and it'll stop you from quitting. Knowing your why
Yes.
is your quick coach. I call it my quick.
Yep.
I have a quick coach that doesn't let me quit because there are days where I just want to quit. But knowing your why will stop that. So.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you so much. I mean, this was a ton of information about just how we empower ourselves. I can see why you want to get out there and speak to young women in these STEM schools and speak empowerment into them and help them to discover their confidence. You don't have to know all the answers, but you have to take the first step and find yourself surrounded by the people who are going to continue to encourage you and move you forward. Where do I, it's Grease Diva Garage. You're on all the socials. Is there one place in particular that you want people to go look for you?
We're really coming up and learning. Again, being 50, Instagram is not my forte, but I'm getting there. So Instagram, I'd love to have you find us on Instagram and check out my shorts on some of the, work I'm doing under the hood as I go through my day. Would love to see you there. And ask questions, please, by all means, ask me what I'm doing and I'm happy to explain. Yeah. So
Beautiful.
thank you so much for having me, Lisa. This has been fabulous. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for pouring into my audience. I appreciate it. Hey, if any of you need help with that social media, that's my day job. So we can help your brand show up better online or even discover what your why is. I do have a 5-page kind of worksheet that will help you figure out what is your mission, what is your why. And if you want that, it's my gift to you. Just reach out, or you can actually go directly to my website, lisamosby.com, and it's on there. You can download the PDF and help yourself to it. Come on back next week. We'll have another guest who is gifted and talented and who's been there before us, and that will pour into you. So we'd love to see you back. Come on back. And thanks so much, Sadie, for being with me today. Bye,
Yes,
everybody.
thank you.